Somebody said, is the Bible against borrowing? And what is wrong with outsourcing? All right. What's wrong with outsourcing? Nothing. Let me leave it like that. I don't. As we go on, please answer some of these questions yourself. I cannot take the issue of, I'm not a business, what do you call it? I'm not a business consultant. I'm not a management consultant. I'm not. So I don't even know the meaning of outsourcing more than what the general man on the street knows. But what I have just explained is that before you throw people out of jobs, be careful. That's what I have said. Do you get what I'm trying to explain? Uh-huh. You don't just outsource because it is cheaper. You see, as I was sitting down there, I realized something. That there was a pattern I started with, which is very good. We'll take a spiritual foundation and get some practical things added to it, all right? So today I'm going to give them some spiritual foundations again, all right? Because we must never forget why we are gathered here is because we are believers and we expect the power that works towards those that believe. Quickly open your Bible to Ephesians chapter 1. I think I should read that. I will answer those questions. I have not forgotten. But let's just read this. Ephesians chapter 1. Paul was talking to the people, writing to the Ephesians and telling them how he had been praying for them. He said that this is my prayer that God, that's verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. In verse 18, it says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Now, please notice verse 19. And what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe? That's just what I want to read. All right? Let me just conclude that portion. He said, these are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him up from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Now, let me just emphasize that expression again. That is, he said, there is a surpassing greatness of his power. And this power works toward those who believe. I'm going to emphasize something. That why we are gathered here discussing is because I believe that we have something different from what the world has. If you believe that, say amen. There is something that we have that people in the world don't have. All right? We know that God is working on our behalf. And what we are trying to do, there's something I want to start with. Let me just say it now. There is nothing you want to create on the earth God did not think about first. If you were the first to think about it, it will never work. Amen? No, get this point clear. You know, that's why somebody asked a question the other day. Said that, how do you know what is God's call and what's your desire? And I said, the truth is that if you walk with God and you are closely applying yourself to him, relating with God as a believer, then he's converting your desires to be his desires. That is, he thinks of something first, then he plants that thing in your heart, and this thing suddenly becomes nice for you to do. Are you getting my point? For example, there was nobody that Jesus healed that God did not want to heal. Are you getting my point? So what will God do? God will arrange events for the sick man to meet the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you getting my point? And then when he meets him, he knows what the Lord will do. He knows that compassion will move him. Are you following the point? And when compassion will have moved him, he will now move towards that person and pray for the person. And the person will be healed. That's why he used to do, like he said, only what he saw the Father do. That is, there was nothing that was first with him. What am I trying to explain? That what we are trying to do as believers is to tap into that which God wants to do. Are you getting my point? That he went around doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil because God was with him. And bring out an issue from there, that God again is also going around. He's looking for somebody who will go with him, trying to create prosperity in the heart of our land. First in our hearts, all right? And then outwardly. That is, God does not enjoy it when people suffer from poverty, from lack. Are you following the point I'm making? God's desire is that people might be blessed. Therefore, there is no idea you have. Please, I said that you go away with CDs, all right? There's one called Creating the Opportunity for Prosperity. See, what I explained there is that, first of all, listen to this, for a believer, and this is how spiritual things work, we are not out there to struggle with people. Listen, There's one thing I saw once, and it impressed me. When Evander Holyfield fought Michael Tyson, I think for the first time or the second time, I'm not sure which one now, Evander Holyfield's manager said that there was no way on the earth that Tyson could beat Holyfield. It's not as if Holyfield was the strongest man or that the man believed so much in the faith of Holyfield. After all, Mike Mora beat Holyfield that time. I know if you know a bit of boxing, all right? Now, but why did he make that statement? He said he noticed that when they had this their pre-match interview, he noticed that Mike Tyson could not face Holyfield. He couldn't look him in the eyes. What am I trying to say? That first of all, Evander Holyfield had won before the fight came to be. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? That is, in their souls, all right, the contest of the spirits, Evander Holyfield had already defeated the other fellow. There's a teaching I have, well, I didn't preach it, but I may have read it here and there. I have a writing on it. I titled The Strength of the Spirit. Okay? Listen, if you are strong in your spirit, you will overcome what is outward. You first must be defeated in your heart first, before you are defeated outwardly. There is no outward situation strong enough to defeat a man whose heart has not yet been defeated. Listen, let me tell you the truth. The most powerful creature on the earth is a human being. Do you understand my point? He has power, and I'm not talking about Christian now, the human being. He has power in himself so strong that sometimes even God they fear, in quote. What do I mean? When they wanted to build the tower, God said, this is an emergency. It's a crucial emergency. He said, there is nothing that they have imagined to do. Now they are in agreement. There's nothing that they have imagined to do that they will not be able to do. So therefore, let's go and cause disagreement amongst them. We first have to defeat them inside their hearts first. Otherwise, outwardly, they are going to win. There's nothing you can do. Now, imagine that a believer now taps into the power of God, the power of grace. Are you getting my point? And he now faces the challenges of life. Listen to me. The man is unstoppable. That woman is unkillable. Believe me, people don't even die by accident, though. I'm sure if Satan cannot kill you in your heart first, when they shot Alex Zibro that time, I said, this man will not die. They said, why did I say so? I said, they gave him an unarmed man to armed men to shoot. They shot and shot. They couldn't kill him. I said, this man will not die. You get what I'm trying to explain? Now, so please, get what I'm trying to say here. That first of all, as believers, we win inside. And once we have won inside, we will win outwardly. Are you getting my point? Listen, the issues of life. One of my favorite movies, about three movies or four that I really love in this world, all right? One of them is Matrix. I love Matrix, The Devil's Advocate. Those two movies. Why do I love Matrix? I said, this is what real life is. Everything outwardly is actually being played inside. It's a spiritual battle. All the one you are doing outside. That's why the Bible talks about double-mindedness. There are people who get up in the morning to go and do things that their hearts don't agree with. Do you follow my point? That's why you first must be converted in your heart if you are ever going to succeed outside. You first must be converted where? Inside your heart. If you are not, please make sure you listen to that series again, even if you have listened to it before. Creating the opportunities for prosperity. That's what I emphasize in there. That is why when you want to pray, don't think you're a smart person. Know something for sure, that God has already created something. Listen, don't think that maybe my dreams are bigger than that God has for me. Will you agree? And unconsciously, we may think about that too. I know God, what we are thinking of. You should say you don't think that one. No, the truth is that you cannot. Look, after many years of experience and working with God, you begin to come close to, that's when you have any hope of even coming close to seeing what he can achieve in your life. Are you getting my point? So forget it. If you like, dream that you will create companies bigger than General Electric plus Grameen Bank. All right? Plus everything Nigerian stock market put together. It's a small thing. If you can conceive it. It is not about struggles. Oh, I wish you would understand. It's not about struggles. That's why one of the things you must do. Let me give one lesson for today. Spiritual, economic, empowerment, and development strategy. Another strategy, read. Write that one down. Strategy, dash, read. Next strategy, read. The third one, read. And next one, read again. Stop trying to reinvent the wheel. You know what I mean? Because some people have never read something. They think that the one we are doing has never been done before. What I'm talking about reading now actually is that it helps you to enlarge your heart, open your mind, so that you know. That's why I showed us that lecture yesterday. So that you know what people have done, so your heart will know it can be done. Are you getting my point? Listen, there's a way God... Let me tell you something. I learned this one long ago. If your heart can only receive less, you know, because there was a question Chike asked the other day about money. How can you be sure that you won't leave the vision and pursue money? And I told that money actually is not a bad thing. It's just that people misuse it. They use it for the wrong purpose. What I mean is this. It's given as a measure. God put it there for you to help measure some things, right? In business world, you have to use money. That's the only way you can measure what is going on. So, as an example, we're talking business. Now, let's assume that your heart can only conceive 100 million naira worth, no, forget that one. Let's say 10 million naira worth of business. And I give you 1.5 billion. You know what's going to happen? You will waste and waste. You will badly invest. The time you finally settle and start sleeping well and start making profit is when that money drops to 10 million. That's why God doesn't give you easily. And that's what I wanted. You know, today I said I'll talk about how to get money for your business and stuff like that. All right? In fact, I'm already into it, okay? I'll still answer these questions along the line. Let me just continue talking because it seems to be flowing now. That is why God allows you to grow. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? You know, the child that was born yesterday is as much a human being as you. Assuming you are 25, you are 35, whatever you are. The child born yesterday is as much a human being as you are. You know the difference? Is experience. You have eaten for longer. You have encountered many more things. You have fallen. This is what I'm going to say. You have gotten up. Are you getting me? I mean, sometimes I just worry about, worrying could, like, I think about something and I say, God, may it never happen. You have people children that get missing, they're abandoned. And I imagine that maybe I leave my child on the road and I drive away. What will he do? Do you know the reason why the guy would be thoroughly lost? He has never had to find his way on the road with so many cars passing up and down, he having to cross the road, take transport. Now, someone like my son, like Elu, he could actually do it. The other day, my wife had to take him to his friend's house. He has a classmate. Oh, hi. That's the boy's name. His friend. So he worried his wife until my wife agreed one day. But my wife said, but I don't know the boy's house. The boy said, I do. I know his house. Now, because he lives very far away from school, so usually he's the last one the bus will drop. So he knows all the houses where they stop on the way. So one day they were going. There's another of my wife's friends that lives somewhere not too far away from that chap. So anytime they pass in front of that person's house, he will identify that, this is this person's house. That one doesn't go to their school. So one day just told my wife that, look, I know their house. Just take me to this other fellow's house. So my wife drove up to that person's house. So when they got to that fellow's gate, I told my wife, turn, go down this road. When you get there, turn here. It's a red gate and it's number 10. When he was doing this, believe me, he was just about 5 years old. He was telling my wife what that house they will have to visit one day. That he knows all the houses. Because he's been in the school bus. The school bus is going from here to there. He points, this is where this person lives. This is where this person lives. Because that's where the person comes off. What I'm trying to figure out is this. But if you drop him here, why can't he go there by himself? Because he's not had the experience of stopping a taxi. He has not had the experience of stopping a bus or stopping a bike. He's not had the experience of crossing the road. So the difference between you and him, though you are 30 years older than him, is what? Experience. And that's why people go to school. You know one of the reasons why you read? So that you can create, you can program into you, very good word, program, you know, like program a computer. Program into your mind other people's experiences. That's why I say you must read, read and read and read. I'm bringing out something. So what God does with is this. He gives you time to develop. First time you do business, you handle 200 naira. Then you get used to handling 200 naira. You get used to the idea. It's not foreign to you anymore. Then one day, you are able to handle 10,000. Then you grow up one day, it becomes a million. Listen, that's how you keep growing. Now, you see, I led the fellowship when we were on campus. I remember when I handed over to the guy who took over from me. Suddenly, he had to make all the decisions. Now, as a young man who just receives allowances. I remember the first day they walked up to him, there are some equipment in our fellowship needed repairs and all of that. And when they presented the bill, do you understand what I mean? That we will pay to repair it. The fellowship had the money, but I remember very well, this is my guy, he walked up to me and said, Banky, I beg. Look at this. So I just looked at it and said, okay, let them do this one. Now, I noticed what was his problem. He had never approved such expenditure in his life. do you get my point? You just approve expenditure of money more than your school fees and 6 months allowance. The reason was simple. He had never done it. But I had done it for 3 semesters. I had become used to it. You get my point? I know that heavens won't fall. I mean, we have to buy the speaker. We have to repair the amp. Maybe the generator is bad. We have to do it. There's no other way. And once we have the money, we have to spend it. But after I shut up, of course, he got used to it. I'm trying to bring out something. That's why God doesn't drop money on you suddenly. He has to build you up through experience. The Bible says that strong meat. Let's quickly read that one. I think that would be Hebrews chapter 6, thereabout. All right. Just go a verse backwards, all right? If you are in Hebrews chapter 6, just go a verse backwards. Now, here, Paul has been speaking about Melchizedek. And he said, look, there are many more things we have to say, but we cannot continue now. The reason he said is because you guys, now let me read from verse 11 of chapter 5. He said, concerning him, we have much to say, that is Melchizedek, and it is hard to explain. Since you have become dull of hearing. He said, verse 12. He said, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk, that is simple food, and not solid food. That is, you have come to spend money, do business only in thousands of naira, and not plenty of it. He said, for everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness. I want to draw a parallel from here. He said, for he is a babe. But solid food is for the mature, verse 14, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and what? Evil. My Bible is the New American Standard. It said, it's because of what? Practice. King James used the word by reason of what? Exercise or use, some Bible says. When they have done it again and again, they become accustomed to doing it. Now, let me now answer that first question. How do I get money for my business? One question a lot of people ask. I think I gave this illustration some time ago. Somebody one day walked up to my wife and said, please, very nice guy, honest person. He wanted to do a kind of business. So he was trying to raise some money, whether she could help and stuff. So she told me about it. I said, very nice. I think he's a very nice man. He wouldn't ask you for this kind of thing if he didn't need it. But give him money. But more importantly, give him advice. And you know, as far as I was concerned, why I wanted her to give him money was so that he would receive the advice. I don't know whether you understand the point. Because if you don't drop the money, it will be like you are talking because you don't want to give. So I said, give him money. But more importantly, advice. What's the advice? I said, build up your capital little by little. I said, look, you're a nice person. You may know people and they'll be nice enough to give you money. I said, but that's a great mistake. How many of you read the Robert Kiyosaki's Richard Poor Dad? Rich Dad was a very rich man who refused to give Robert Kiyosaki any money. He said, no, that won't help you. And the man wasn't being stingy. If you read behind the lines, you know he was a generous man, really. He just said, look, this is the easy way out. I have a friend who disagreed a lot of things concerning ministry. I told him that this is where we disagree. On money matters. I said, I don't believe in raising money for ministry work. Like, maybe we want to do something, and I go around one person after the other, and say, please, we need of this, contribute something. He said, no, there's nothing wrong with it. I said, it's not a sin. But one day we had a discussion, my wife used one word. He said, it's the easy way out. It's not a sin. I said, it's the easy way out. And there's a problem with easy ways out. On the long run, they don't help you. No, there's a reason why I'm explaining this. A lot of things that are easy, they don't help. I told my wife to tell him, look, if everybody gathers and gives you money, you will waste it. Chances are, you will what? You will waste it. Go and read the story of all this dot-com boom in America. Because dot-com was a happening thing. Imagine that Google was launched first, and then maybe ABC search engine came after. Because of the success of Google, the other ones will tend to do well also. So a lot of venture capitalists, there are people they call venture capitalists. You have a nice idea, they give you money to start. They take a chunk of the business as theirs. Now, because of that, they could raise a lot of money. Once it was a craze. You get my point? It was a craze. Look at Nigeria recently. Stock market, once you, even if what you are doing is selling cocoyam, you know, in every local market, just list in Nigerian stock market. You will make your own killing before the thing went down. And for those of you who don't understand, all those big bank MDs, man, they chopped big time. They did. That the first IPO they did wasn't a fantastic one. I mean, it was just okay. That they are all their IPOs, initial ones. But when they came, that second wave of public offers, ha, yakada. Woo! Stocks that came out first time at 3 naira, they were now selling 50 couple stock at 18 naira 50. As soon as everybody put their money, I told everybody that time, I said, this is a great mistake. I said, look, what, according to Warren Buffett, what wise men do at the beginning, fools do at the end. I said, this thing was good at the time. I said, this one, people are capitalizing on the boom in the market. Anyone who puts money in will lose out. Of course, you know, I was thoroughly proved right. Number one, they tell you it's 18.50. You pay. They keep your money for 8 months. They allocate you 10% of what you paid for. Return the balance to your pocket. Next day, the share drops to 16 naira in the market. Currently, maybe going for like 3 naira 60 now. And everybody lost money. I know most people don't talk. Everybody is bleeding. They are bruised. Nobody's saying anything. You get what I'm saying? Anyway, this is the point I'm making. So you see, the thing is booming. So everybody rushes to get money. So this, during that dot-com boom, that's the same that happened. You just decide that your own website is how to design fans and sell them in churches, Nigeria.com. So fansinchurches.com. Of course, people give you money. Now, this is the point I'm making. When the stock prices began to drop, the money they gave you should not have vanished if you did not misuse it. You know what most of the guys did? I mean, five young guys suddenly give you $10 million. You list the value of your company is already $100 million. So instantly, you know what guys do? Buy a car, rent one touche office, do serious branding, pay for adverts in papers, spend $10 million in 1 year. The only thing they have left in that company is the name and the fact that there's still a boom in the market. So they can raise that 10 million by selling stock. Do you get my point? Except that as soon as Bill Gates is a servant of God, if you know what I mean. There are different kinds of servants of God. Some of them are believers, some are not. As soon as they release Windows 98, the bundled Internet Explorer. All right, you know what they call bundling? Okay, let me teach those who don't know. Computer language is very interesting. Your computer is made, can't do anything. It can't speak English, can't speak Greek, can't speak Hebrew, can't speak anything. So they first give it a program that teaches how to speak language. It's called an operating system. That only teaches it language. That is, how to communicate. All right, then you now put application softwares on them, in which you now said, okay, you now told it the instructions on how to put on the fan. So it will now put on the fan for you. All right? Now, most companies, all right, now, what you call... many of you know Firefox. You go to browse. Opera. All right. Internet Explorer. They are application softwares. All right. Now, there was one company called Netscape that made the first popular one. That made the, what they called the Navigator. Netscape made Navigator and they were making a lot of money because every time, forget the one that here, you go and buy software for 200 naira at Ikeja. In advanced countries, you pay good money. For example, if you buy your Microsoft Office, Windows, you know, not Windows, Office, Word, and all that, it costs about $200 to $300 to be able to type on your computer using Microsoft Word. All right, it's quite expensive, okay? Now, so Netscape, their main product was that internet browser called the Navigator. When Microsoft came out with Windows 98, you know, anytime you get a copy of Windows, Notepad comes on automatically, WordPad, things like that, some games, they just added Internet Explorer, added it to Windows 98 and released it, thereby making Internet Explorer free. You get what that means? What does that mean? You don't have to go and buy Navigator. That was what, listen, that company died instantly. The stock price dropped from about $500 to $50. Bill Gates killed the company overnight. All the antitrust things that were done charged against the man, that's where it started from. That these are predatory practices. In my mind, I just laughed. Oh, God. Anyway, that's not where my story is. That ignited a crash. Suddenly people woke up and said, what is really happening? What are these people really manufacturing? They realized that nothing. So stocks that were worth $100 came down to $1, $2, in fact, half a cent. Now, let's get back to where we started from. So the man went, okay, where's the money we gave you? The money has been blown in five-star hotel accommodation, flying first class, taking newspaper adverts. The money had been spent. Why? Because they did not build the money from anything. Do you follow the point I'm trying to make? The Bible says, he that gathers by labor increases wealth. I'm coming to something now. How do you get money for a business, my friend? Number one, don't be in a hurry. Remember that our message? Listen to it again. Open my eyes, oh Lord. Usually you have more than you think. Did I hear an amen? Usually you have what? Yeah, in fact, J.K. insists is you have all you need. What advice I told my wife to give that fellow, I said, this business you want to do, you don't have to buy machinery. I know the first thing you do, let me give you an example as an example now. Let us assume that you want to start designing graphics as an example. Somebody tells you that you need a computer and you go to price a good computer for graphics and the minimum you can get is maybe 150,000 naira. So, there are two ways to go about it. You can go and borrow 150,000 naira or you can go and, if you're a Christian, you have many friends, beg them to give you 150,000 naira and that's you. Or, you can say, okay, let me sell a portion of this business. Alright, so somebody invests in it. All these things are possible. But you know what I found the easiest way? Go to a cyber cafe that has a good computer and do all-night browsing. They will charge you 400 naira to browse all night. Do your work at night for 400 naira. Buy a good flash for 2005. Discuss with them, look, this is what I want to do. Normally this computer, at the whole night, what can I take and do? Maybe it's 400 naira per person. I don't want the internet. Just allow me to install these programs. I will work on it 400 naira a night. See what I'm saying? Why you don't think such thoughts is because you think it's easy to get money another way. That's why people don't think such thoughts. Just simply walk up to the cyber cafe. They don't have to be your friend. They charge 400 bucks for online browsing. No be so. Just pay them the 400 naira and the computer is yours the whole night. When you finish, put all your work on one flash and walk away and tell them I'll be back tomorrow night. So during the day, sleep. See your clients. Take instructions from them. And the clients that give you work, when they say, okay, we'll come to your office. Say, no, I'll come to your office. I'll bring your work on a flash. They won't get the point that it's because you don't have a computer. So when you get there, say that, let me show you what I have done. You plug into their computer. All right, look at this. Look at that. Look at that. Okay, what do you really like? You will like this. You will like this. You make a few adjustments on the fellow's computer. Say, can I work here for a while? Say, yes. Why not? Let me just finish it so that I won't waste your time. The truth is that you ain't got a computer. And because the man wants his work in a hurry, he will let you use his computer. Meanwhile, everybody owns a laptop. Most people want your work, they own a laptop. Just say, okay, well, why don't I come to the office? You'll be there while I do it, while you're working, when I'm through, I'll let you see it. Do you have a computer I can use? He said, no problem. So just charge him little. Reduce his price so he can use his computer. Go there. By the time, that's the next thing I'm going to say. When you make the first money, I told you there's seed for the sower and there's bread for food. If you have operated the principle I said before, in which try and learn to abase, work somewhere else, earn little, eat. Now, the advantage of that is that in this business you have just started, you don't have to eat anything from meat yet. Do you get the point? Simply, the first person pays you, they pay you 2,000 naira. Thank the Lord with it. Take small, do offering. Spiritual seed is very good, all right? Take the rest, keep it. Open a bank account. Save it up. Keep on adding it up until it hits 50,000. Now, you see, there are things people don't understand. People say, I'm just walking by faith. Faith is not, it's not that you don't. Perhaps they know the condition of your flock. See how your flocks are multiplying.